you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Dave and Buster's on Richmond, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
5 o'clock hour on a Thursday afternoon here on The Blitz. Adam Wexler, great to be with you today. I'm sitting in for Fred Fowler, vacationing, I assume, somewhere
he
great.
He is in Canada.
Of course it's in Canada. Oh, yeah. It's Fred.
He's an honorary Canadian.
A.J. Hoffman here as per usual, and we are sports.
We are sports.
All throughout the day.
Jong, I've been teasing this game that I wanted to play with you, and it's a game that I'm going to call Guess Whose Laptop This Story Is On. And Jong, I'm expecting you to do very well at this. I can only hope. I'm going to give you the headline of an article that Adam and I prepared for today's show.
All right.
And you're going to guess which one of our laptops said headline came from.
Now, I would be very disappointed if I didn't get 100% as well.
Okay. Do you want to practice one or do you just want to jump right in?
No, let's just jump right in.
All right. The first one is how star athletes lost millions to a great idea.
Adam.
That is correct. You are 1-for-1, sir. 1-for-1 on today's game. That's pretty impressive. You ready for your second one?
Bring it on.
All right. Homeless World Cup 2016.
AJ.
All right. 2-for-2. You're very confident with that. I like it.
John has already proven he's my favorite type of game show player. They don't want
to. They don't even finish the.
Give me. I know it. Go.
Yeah.
That's how to do it, man.
All right. Next up. The leaderboard for the Open.
Adam.
Also correct, sir. You are 3-for-3. I'm very impressed so far. Next. Ranking all 32 NFL defensive front sevens. You know I love football.
Yes. But I'm gonna like have to go. Too. I'm gonna have to go with Adam just because AJ said it's a very unsports-like day today.
You are correct, sir. You are correct. Congratulations. We are 4-for-4 now. Teenager swallows thumbtack AJ. To win bet. Boy, you okay? You're on. All right. How about this? Australian man admits to amateur testicle surgery.
AJ,
correct once again. 5-for-5. Hall of Famer Kevin Green praises J.J. Watt, says he
AJ,
doesn't
not,
quote
not AJ,
fart
Adam,
around.
Adam.
See, you're lucky because if I were a real game show host and you'd spit out that answer,
yeah.
I would have counted
wrong.
That.
Yeah.
But that was Adam's laptop. So I'm going to, because, you know, you're a friend of the program, I'm going to let you slide on that one. How about this one? The CDC will pay you for Zika-infested semen.
AJ.
You are correct.
He's got them all.
What is he, 7-for-7?
That's all we can ask.
I've got a couple more for you, John.
All right.
I've got the bracket of the 2016 Little League Texas East State Tournament.
Oh, Adam.
Boy.
That wasn't really
you are good
show
at this
prep,
game.
I must admit.
I'm going to give you one more, John.
Adam, you have the Little League World Series bracket up?
The teams aren't even in the bracket yet.
They're not announced yet. But he was going to point out that they're not announced yet. And if they happen to get announced during the show, we're going to break some news.
Oh, you're going to fill that bracket out too, right?
That's right.
See how I did? Big madness pool going on.
All right. You've got two more, John. Are you ready?
Yep.
What about the tentative schedule for the 2016 AAU Junior Olympic Games?
Adam.
Including baton twirling, bowling, field hockey, jump rope, kung fu, sport stacking, and table tennis.
Adam.
All coming to H-Town.
Boy, you are good at this game. Well, here's your last one, John. See how good you really are. Woman is beheaded by a train while having sex beside the world-famous Trans-Siberian Railway track.
Oh, this has Wexler written all over it, but I'm going to say AJ.
He started with woman is beheaded. He finished with sex.
That's good, because I'll tell you this. Adam loves stories that involve women being beheaded during sex. But Adam's not a big fan of Russian women being beheaded during sex. So that was really smart of you to deduce that it was from my laptop. Congratulations, John. You scored perfectly on that game, and you win no prize or cash.
The prize for you and the listeners is we've finished off the last story. That's the one we're going to share with you now.
That's you win pride, John. I will tell you about that story. A woman was having sex inches away from the Trans-Siberian Railroad. I don't know if that's something that, is a bucket list item or what. But she was apparently in what we would refer to as the cowgirl position, where she was on top facing her partner. And she stood up mid-romp, inexplicably, I would say.
Well, that ceases the romping.
And was beheaded. Her lover survived the dangerous tryst. Luckily, a Russian railway source said the woman was on top of her partner, and when she heard an approaching train, she started to stand up. I don't care how good the sex is. I feel like I would hear that train coming well before it was in beheading range.
And presumably, the person making the train go sees something ahead.
Yes.
Dangerous, and then the train starts doing what it... You can't do much. You can't stop. But you can try to make it known that you're on your way, being a little bit louder.
Our story... If you missed the first part of the show, you missed a story that highlighted the stupidity of some women who went tubing on a river and thought that they could get in and it would circle back and bring them to their car like it was a lazy river at Schlitterbahn. This story, I think, also highlights the stupidity of some women who, when they see a train approaching, stand up and get closer to the train. The Russian railway source says that right as she stood up, the train tore her head off. Had she remained in her previous position, she would have stayed alive. So the moment of passion was near Zaudinskaya Railway Station in the suburbs of Ulan-Ude, the regional capital, which is my favorite city in the region. Local sources have said the couple were homeless people who were both drunk. The pair were not named, unfortunately. Otherwise, we could give Twitter thoughts and prayers to the surviving hobo sex train haver.
Unsurprising, alcohol was involved.
Typically, when it comes to homeless and train track sex, alcohol is involved.
Like, yeah, I'm not, you know, I can see the ideas of let's do it here or let's do it there. That seems like not a high on
Adam,
the list.
If they had homes, they would have done this in their home. But they're homeless, so when you're homeless, you've got to be creative about where you do it.
Well, when you're homeless,
I've thought about that
everywhere
a lot.
Is fine.
I've always thought about that. Where do hobos have sex?
Today is my first day to think about that.
Really?
Yep.
You never see people, like, I always see, like, couples, like, and I always feel bad when there's the couples. I feel worse when there's a guy with a dog. Like, I want to say, hey, you mind if I just take your dog? Because this dog shouldn't be homeless. You screwed up somewhere in life. This dog didn't do anything. But I always wonder where these couples go to make love after they're done panhandling for the day.
Well, when the day turns to night,
the city is their playground.
Exactly.
The city is their bedroom.
Unfortunately.
Think about that next time you sit on a park bench. The city is their bedroom. I mean, we already know the city is their bathroom.
Right. So it all stands to reason. So, I never really thought about it the way you did, that the idea that it happens all over the place is, to me, common knowledge.
You go to a public park, and you take your children. They slide down the slide at the public park.
Yep, sure do.
You could probably guess what's happened on that very slide.
But
hobo sex.
Great. Doesn't. I guarantee you, even after today, we will visit a park again.
And that won't cross your mind.
Well, it might now. Won't stop me from telling them to slide down the slide.
Take those kids straight home and shower. And we'll wipe you guys down.
Well, yeah, you got to live your life.
You got to live your life.
Can't let
you
that
can't worry about
way.
A little bit of hobo semen. I mean, it's just a little bit anyway, right? How much could there be? They're not nourished enough to have, like...
Probably there's a gap in between the act and our visit.
I would guess so. Hopefully at least 20 minutes.
At least. We usually don't get up that early, AJ, to get to the park.
All right. Well, Jones Music means that segment is over. Adam is probably leaving.
We got to get into some of these other good stories.
Oh, we got to get to the British Open, or excuse me, the Open.
The Open.
Leaderboard. I didn't want to... Since the Brexit, we don't call it the British Open anymore. It sounds fancier when you just call it the Open. Like, you're the only one who has it. It's like a... I don't know. It seems more pretentiousness from the Brits. But
you could be saying it with an accent, too. Then it'd be even worse.
Yeah, Open.
Better.
All right, we'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 Live from Dave and Buster's. New Jack's up in hollow. It's resonate the subject because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend, the record. ESPN 97.5.
Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Dave and Buster's on Richmond, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Wex here, along with A.J. Adam Wexler in for Fred Fowler. A.J. Hoffman here with you on The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. If I say Tim Tebow, you think...
Republican vice president nominee.
If I say Natalie Gulbis, you think?
I can't say it out loud.
Both set to speak at the RNC.
Dana White also
set to speak.
Boy, it's funny how you make a $4 billion business sale, then all of a sudden you're a Republican.
And tomorrow morning, the Donald will name blank as his running mate. Have you seen the odds, at least?
I have seen the odds. I don't know if there's anyone that would interest me, that would make me...
Well, think about who the candidate is. So how much does this matter?
No, not as far as, like, interest me into making me vote for him. I mean, interest me from a comedic standpoint. That's all I care about.
They don't interest you from a comedic... I mean, no. One of the guys at the top of the list has to.
Newt Gingrich?
Well, both of the he's probably the lead dog, and Christie right behind him. They don't bring comedic value.
Chris Christie does. I don't believe Chris Christie has a chance to win that nomination.
Then, does anybody have a chance to win other than Newt, or is it just boom? It's Newt.
I don't know. Now that you say Chris Christie, that would be good comedy. I feel like Donald Trump would make fun of him regularly and openly. That would be kind of good. I don't know. I wish we could get another Sarah Palin vice presidential nomination.
That spawned so much goodness.
That was so great. That's if you want to make America great again, Donald, do that. That's when America was great. You want to get me to watch Saturday Night Live again? Give me a Trump Palin ticket.
So who's Mike Pence?
I don't know anything about Mike Pence. It's Hunter Pence's dad.
That's my thought.
I'm 90% sure. Who are the other guys?
Sessions.
Ramon Sessions?
Yes.
I would vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
He was a relatively reliable backup in the league for a while.
He got a contract this offseason.
And seeing...
Doing this on the side, apparently.
If you're going to be backup point guard, backup president, basically the same thing.
Why doesn't he just keep it in the family and just name, one of
Ivanka?
His... Yeah, like go that route.
I've got a better idea. Why don't we play another game of The Apprentice and find the vice president that way?
You're familiar with Sam Ace Rothstein, right?
I've heard the name.
He's put some odds out there. He puts Al Gore at 100-1 and Palin at 1,000-1 to be named tomorrow by Trump.
Okay.
Our good friend, Sammy.
So Al Gore has a better chance of being the Republican nominee for vice president. Actually, a 10 times a better chance than Sarah Palin?
Yeah.
Boy. My, how the times have changed. A lot of people have given me this story of the two men who fell off the edge of Ocean Bluff while playing Pokemon Go. Do you remember that video game? I say
Hubert.
That. No, I was going to say when you were a kid, but you and I are of different generations.
God, I'm old.
I know. It's funny because I sit here and look at you, and you look younger than me, but you're not. But there was a game when I was a kid called Lemmings, and basically these things just... They were.
Yes, we just, you notice I said Q-bert right off the bat when you're talking about jumping off a ledge, and that does date me.
Okay.
Q-bert, like when video games.
I remember Q-bert.
But there were like five video games,
was
and
like
that was one of them.
Q-bert, Frogger,
Pac-Man,
Dig Dug.
Yeah. Donkey Kong.
Yeah,
that was about it.
That was it. That was all you could get on your Atari. But yeah, Lemmings, these little creatures just ran off the side of a mountain, mm-hmm. and that's what people are doing now with Pokemon Go.
But people are doing it.
Humans.
People.
I don't know what's going on with our... I don't know what's happening to our society. Jimbo says Mike Pence is the governor of Indiana, and sources have said he will be named VP nominee.
Yeah, he's it's.
But what does Hunter think about that? That's all I care about.
I'd like to see him up on stage with that crew. I know Pence is a regular old politician, huh?
I guess so. It's kind of boring. I was hoping it would be like...
Well, you can't have someone that rivals him.
No.
Because Donald wouldn't want that.
But you could have had, like, a celebrity.
Yeah, we could have had an athlete.
That would have worked.
Had a Jesse the Body type.
I think Herschel Walker is a big supporter.
Herschel doesn't strike me as the wear a suit, sit down in meetings, and talk things out type of guy, like the vice president might do.
Herschel did that on The Apprentice, though. He was very professional.
Which foreign countries do you want to send Herschel off to help smooth things over, negotiate some things, visit countries, etc.?
I guess it is good that Trump gets, like, a real politician to help him with this, because this is like, if I'm the vice president, if you're the vice presidential nominee, don't you ask for an immediate raise? Like, listen, I'm going to have to do way more work than Joe Biden's been doing. Like, this is a different kind of job, being the vice president to Trump. This is not like what any other president in history has dealt with.
Well, I feel like when there's things that need to get done by the president, as they've always been done, the jobs that he's responsible for, the things that he's in charge of, the stuff that has to go through him, there's going to be people like, can we just go to Pence on this? I mean, come on. We don't have to tell Donald about this, do we? I don't really.
Let's just run this straight to the top.
Yeah, come on, please. I don't want to go in there, and it's like that tentative. Is he in? I got to talk to him. Yeah, we need him to wake him up, bring him in, ring him up, whatever. Yeah, God. Where's Pence when you need him?
Well,
But remember, whoever it is that close to being president.
That's true. And not that I would condone it, but I would say that whoever wins this election, whether it be Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, probably the highest likelihood of assassination maybe ever. Although I guess our last two presidents I would have put pretty high up there too, and they've survived 16 years of it.
Well, clearly, yes. This last one for sure.
So, yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe assassinating days are over.
I hope so. They have been for a while.
Yeah.
Okay on that front.
Yeah. I mean, I'm against assassination in almost every instance.
Anti-assassination AJ. Didn't know that. Good to know.
Yeah. You share that sentiment, I suppose?
Also a member.
Okay. Good. We agree then. We agree on something.
But yes, that's coming tomorrow. That will be your major news story, headline of the day, all day, because it's coming tomorrow in New York.
You know, sometimes when crappy sports teams can't find a coach, they keep asking people, and people are like, no, not interested, not interested, not interested. And then eventually someone's like, okay, I'll take it.
So in sports, you know, like the Astros, when they were intentionally losing and potentially putting bad rosters on the field and going to to Brad Mills and saying, would you like to manage this group of players that definitely 100% chance will be awful and you won't win here? Well, yes.
Right.
There's only 30 of these jobs. I'll take it. And then he gets fired. Bo Porter, you know, you haven't been a manager before. We've got this team that's been just dismal, just awful. Our last manager didn't last long because they just lost every game, and they're going to continue to lose. Would you like the job? Couldn't say yes fast enough. That's with 30 of those available. Now, there's two vice presidential nominees on the way, only two in the country, and they're not going to have to go down a long list.
Here's the difference, though. All these people that they're going to look at as vice presidential nominees, they've got good jobs. They're doing all right. You know, being the governor of Indiana, I can't imagine the salary difference is way different than being the vice president. You know, it's set up where the president and the vice president don't make that much money.
The salary of these two jobs, president, vice president, is pretty insignificant to the power and privilege that comes with the title.
Okay. I'm just saying,
a lot more free meals, you know, the kitchen at your disposal all day and night.
You don't have to live in Indiana anymore.
Rolling in the Big W, D.C. You're a heavy hit. You're as big as they get.
Okay.
Almost. Second biggest. A lot of prestige there. Easy to say yes to, when it's on Donald's ticket.
I feel like I might pass if I'm a career politician.
Well, somebody's going to be on the ticket for him. Somebody's going to be on the ticket with Hillary. And one of them, along with their presidential candidate, is going to lose.
Right.
So when they go back from that, have they heightened themselves in the eyes of their constituents?
All I know is if, let's say I have a pickup basketball league or a pickup basketball group of guys, and I run off to play with one team, and my regular team is like, dude, you're going to play with that guy? Let's just say, for instance, he's a really bad guy. And I'm like, no, I'm trying to win this game, so I'm going to go play. And then we lose, and so we're not on the court next.
You're off.
And I try to go back to my old squad and say, hey, guys, can I run? And they say, bro, you were running with that guy. Why don't you go hang out with him, pal? I feel like that's how it'll be.
So then maybe Pence goes with Trump, loses, and lands a nice gig at Trump Enterprises moving
maybe
forward.
Maybe that's actually he's going to be the new
golf course director, maybe?
Yeah, or maybe I don't know what it will be. It's something like that. All right. If you are unaware what we're doing out here at Dave & Buster's, we're playing in the Blitz Summer Poker Classic tonight. You can register now.
Tables are currently being prepared. That big, mean security guards are rolling through here with chips right now.
That's right.
Their big cases of chips.
They're going to shuffle up and deal at 7:15 to find the top 25 who will advance to next week's finale for a chance to win the grand prize, which is a 55-inch television and $500 cash. So if you want those things, it's a good time to get out here and earn them. It's as simple as that, guys.
If you want nice things.
Yeah, if you want nice things, just come play free poker for them. All right, it's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back?
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Dave & Buster's on Richmond, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
So, you saw Trainwreck, right?
I did.
It was good, right?
I enjoyed it.
What didn't you like about it? Or who didn't you like that was in it? Because we were talking about the ESPYs a little bit off the air. Adam Wexler, A.J. Hoffman here on The Blitz over at Dave & Buster's on Richmond.
I don't think I have anyone that I...
Like, John Cena was the host last night, so that's what stemmed the conversation.
Right.
He was in Trainwreck, Amy Schumer, Bill Hader.
I don't remember hating anyone's performance in that
movie. The only performance I didn't like was LeBron's.
Okay.
And I just thought he's just too... I kind of like the idea of how they presented him and what they wanted him to be, but I just couldn't... I wasn't down with it. No, I wasn't buying it. And this after seeing so many other great movies with NBA stars in it, like Van Wilder, starring Darius Miles and Michael Olowokandi and Quentin Richardson, all believable as college basketball players.
Right.
He, as himself, was less believable.
That's too bad.
But I thought Cena was he was fine as the host.
I didn't watch
He's just
ESPYs
not as good
night.
As the others, which is, I think, why people are saying he wasn't good. Because clearly Seth Meyers is going to be better. He's a comedian and a great writer. Justin Timberlake, this is the kind of stuff, for some reason, he's really good at. That's why he always hosts and kills on SNL. Kimmel and Conan on other award shows. Like Neil Patrick Harris. To me, Cena was as good of a host as he is.
Okay.
But the show itself is just, there's not much to it. There's a monologue,
and then there's like
maybe a skit.
Attempts to make you cry.
And then there's attempts to make you cry, which were outstanding, but like the idea.
Did you cry?
The Dotson story was pretty tough to take.
Okay.
And Craig Sager, I didn't, because he just delivered it so brilliantly. And he was talking so much about his time here in Houston, because obviously he's been treated over at MD Anderson, and he talked about Texas Children's Hospital, all the stuff that has helped get him through that, and I just am familiar with all that and the surroundings and everything, just having been here. So I think a lot of people here probably got a little bit more out of that. And the bottom line is, for people, and a lot of people bash the ESPYs and the self-promotion and it, look at me. Well, essentially, while they are doing all of those things and it's a huge showcase for look at us, it's also a massive vehicle for generating huge, huge donations for the V Foundation.
That's true. So it's kind of like when people bag on LeBron's decision and you go, well, you gave $1 million to a charity.
Mm-hmm.
You could bag on the ESPYs, but they're raising a lot of money for good stuff. I just hate watching shows that purposely try to, like, make me sad. I don't need that.
And there was, again, a
like,
huge...
when those commercials come on with, like, real skinny kids or really sad animals, I don't like that.
You mean, like, the 21 cents a day can do...
Yes. Yeah. I don't need to see that in my life. I know there's terrible things happening in this world. I just don't want to see them. Okay? So when the ESPYs, and again, I don't know how many times they try to make you cry last night.
I'd say three. I saw big, long segments.
Yeah,
the Tillman Award, Ash Award, and some other things.
Yeah, they get like the three tragedy awards, right. And they're going to try to throw it at you. They're going to try to hurt. They're going to try to make you feel bad. They're going to try to bring tears. I don't have time for that. I just don't care for it. May make me a horrible person.
You just want to get right to best female athlete, best X Games
competitor. I also have no need for them to tell me who the best female athlete is. I don't care about any of that. I don't.
That's very understandable.
Who was the best female athlete?
Breonna Stewart, UConn, Hooper.
Ugh.
WNBA. Back to that again.
You're telling me they say she's a better athlete than Serena?
I don't even believe she was a nominee. I could be wrong. It was Simone Biles.
That's the most absurd
Elena
thing.
Elena Deladon. Brianna, and I guess Serena could have been the fourth, but I don't think so.
Serena better not have been the fourth, because if she was nominated and lost, that's absurd.
Yeah, it is. Like, what she's continuing to do at the stage of her career is
it's unbelievable.
Because it's so clear she's the best.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
Even though she hasn't won as often as actually I thought. Katie Ledecky was the other one, not Serena.
Wow, that's a stupid list. This is more reason why the ESPYs is stupid.
Well, it's
I guess maybe it's not fair if Serena's in there, because then you know who's going to win.
Right.
That takes away all the drama.
Best upset of the year, not one of Serena's losses, the loss in the U.S. Open, not Michigan State getting beat by Middle Tennessee State in the NCAA tournament, but it was Holly Holmes' convincing, dominating victory over Ronda Rousey.
It was a big upset, though.
And then, so, that fight, and then I was obviously watching some of the Miesha Tate fight, which I have to reference it, because she's the known name. But she was the Ronda Rousey of this fight. And it was, to me, the novice fight watcher.
Did you watch those fights?
She just got her clock cleaned.
Yeah.
Over, just took punch to the face after punch to the face, just like Rousey did.
Yeah.
Yes?
It was pretty bad, pretty lopsided, and... Did you watch the whole UFC 200?
No, I did not watch all of it. I saw most of this particular fight.
Did you watch the Brock Lesnar fight?
Watched most of the highlights of that fight.
Are you a pro wrestling guy?
No.
Okay. So he doesn't interest you even like his...
No, but he's brilliant for UFC, is he not?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
A huge draw. And I'm sure this will continue. And the event itself, from what I gather, well, clearly it would have been bigger and... could have been an unbelievable night if the fight, the Jones-Cormier fight, played and then played out as we'd hoped. But that fight was not on the card, and it was a good night of fights.
Yeah.
It was a very well-received, it was a good night. And the best, and they had all the issues with that going in, with all the changes in who was going to fight and the headliners.
I don't know how much to believe this, I heard an interview with John Jones' manager.
That's Jimmy Hart?
No, it's not. It's not Jimmy the Mouth of the South Hart.
Cornette? Jim Cornette?
No, and it's not Bobby the Brain Heenan. It's a guy named Cowie Malka, who, in fact, I think he manages no pro wrestlers. Unfortunately,
that's a shame.
Yeah, it really is a shame. But he was saying that John Jones lost out on an 8-figure payday for UFC 200 by testing positive. That's what? $10 million.
But did he know that going in? Like, is that common going in, or is that what it turned out to be because of the...
That's what's signed.
Okay. That's way out there for what they've paid previously, right? That would be by far the biggest.
By far. Brock Lesnar just became the biggest payday for a single night ever this time, and it was $2.5 million. John Jones was apparently going to, at least according to his manager, was going to make four times...
Don't you have a little bit of hesitation for buying that?
Yes.
Okay.
Especially coming off basically a hit and run and a positive cocaine test. He can't be in the best of graces with these guys that they're like, we'll give you 10 mil.
But we haven't seen the last of him in the octagon.
I would guess not, although we've probably seen the last of him for the next 2 years is my guess.
Then when let's say it's only 2 years and he comes back immediately... You still getting the great John Jones?
Probably not. And that's why when...
But luckily, boxing's getting Manny Pacquiao back.
Well, Lord knows they need it. Yeah, I saw that news, and I've just got no interest in paying $60 to watch Manny Pacquiao fight anymore.
And unfortunately, it really doesn't even have to do with a sign of the times or, they're battling UFC. This has been a boxing constant. Fighters that should have given it up long, long ago, but don't for a very simple reason. Somehow, promoters can put them on the card and generate huge money for them. There is almost no reason for them to say no. Evander Holyfield fought 6 years too long, 7 years, eight. Pacquiao's pushing 5-6 years too long. All the comebacks that Leonard made, far too long. And the worst of all, there was really no stoppage in his fight time. The fact that Roy Jones still gets in the ring,
to this day.
I hate it. Because he is so, maybe better than every guy I just mentioned, literally. I mean, I know he doesn't have the pedigree and all the history behind him, but as, you know, any given night when he was at his best, you could make the argument he's the best pound-for-pound fighter ever, I think, just in what he could do. His career didn't match that. But he should not have stepped in the ring. The last time he stepped in the ring should have been 10 years ago.
And he's still there. They still make ridiculous money for it. And we were talking about Brock Lesnar, the highest payday in UFC history, made $2.5 million. $250 million is what Floyd Mayweather made for fighting Manny Pacquiao.
See, that again.
100 times what Brock Lesnar made.
Can't be accurate. Well, can't be. There's no way.
That's what's reported.
But in order for him to make that, what did they generate?
I have no idea.
Nothing. There's no way.
I don't think. It seems hard for me to wrap my head around that they. I mean, if you pay him that, it seems like how does anybody else possibly get paid? But
is it a Bonilla type payout? Is he getting it for the next 50 years?
I don't know. I do know that he gets on the back end he gets a back end off the pay per view. But somehow he had a $250 million payday.
Paydays, a couple of interesting ones today in the NBA. Manu Ginobili has signed his new deal, and Terrence Jones has a new home. The amount of money they're making individually, each strike me as very odd.
Okay.
So we'll come back and hit you.
Look
with
at you with the radio tease. You are such a pro. That's Adam Wexler, the great Adam Wexler. I am the occasionally good AJ Hoffman. By the way, you can follow Adam on Twitter at AWexlerKPRC. If you don't already, you can follow me at AJIsTheReal if you're not an a-hole. All right, we will be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. The pristine auction item of the day is a Warren Moon Oilers helmet for $50. Visit pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. Auction.com. Daily and weekly auctions ending nightly with hundreds of lots. Free and quick to register. Make sure to tell them you heard about Pristine Auction from ESPN Radio. Back to Dave & Buster's with Adam Wexler and AJ Hoffman.
Thank you, Jong. That was as good
much
as
better?
It gets. Much better. I think you didn't flub until you had to remember Adam and my names. That was
I think he had you down. He was probably like, who's in?
I was like, who's filling in? It's Adam.
Okay.
But his mentioning Warren Moon there reminded me of another really fun thing we did on our vacation when we were in North Carolina in the state capital and rolling through the museums of the day. We got a glimpse of the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame exhibit at the museum. So first thing you do is you watch the video, which of course left me with a disastrously awful taste in my mouth. Since the final moments of the video, championing North Carolina as a great state for sports, is Lorenzo Charles dropping in a little bucket over Akeem and the rest of Phi Slamma Jamma.
Oh.
It's a little tough to take. But there were a pair of former Oilers up in the rafters. Haywood Jeffries for his time spent at NC State. And Elvin Bethea, one of the all-time great Oilers up there on the board.
Nice.
So pretty cool stuff. But it's North Carolina, so it didn't mean much to me.
Yeah, whatever.
There are some cars that turn left a lot in there as well.
Are you a UH alum?
I'm not a UH alum, but I'm a Houstonian.
So you are hence a fan?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of these rumors that came out?
Wait, I'm sorry. Ask me if I'm a fan again.
Are you a fan of the University of Houston?
No, I work in sports media. Not totally impartial and unbiased. Now
okay.
Go on.
Okay. Well, listen, I think there's different levels of it. I think there's some guys who do sports media in this town who will blindly love everything about Houston sports. And then there are people who are at least somewhat objective about it. And
of course.
Put it, like, compare it relative to everything else that goes on in the rest of the world, because there is a rest of the world.
That's where we sometimes get lost.
Yeah, so I'm not, you know, you don't have to be, you can be a fan without being a total, you know.
Homer.
Yeah.
Blind.
Yeah. When you heard that, and the rumors came out, I don't really have much belief in them, but the rumors that Baylor and Tom Herman had a mutual interest and perhaps even met. What were your thoughts when you hear that?
Well, my thoughts, just be simply because of timing, were that's totally bogus. I think it was Heartland Sports that tweeted that out earlier today, that they had not only had shown interest, but had a face-to-face meeting regarding the job at Baylor, which is open, although Jim Grobe, who was actually in Houston today at the Touchdown Club, has that job on basically on an interim basis. As they
what do you mean? He's going to win 12 games this year, and he's basically going to not skip a beat.
So yesterday the news broke, and Baylor's made the announcement as well shortly thereafter that Mac Rhodes is their new athletic director. He left U of H in 2015 in March of 2015 to become Missouri's AD, and about 16 months later he's now out at Missouri by choice to come to Baylor. It's obviously in a very rough period right now athletically.
Which, by the way, Baylor AD,
mm-hmm.
That's like Trump VP to me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people I bet passed on that job before.
Which is why the second side story that spins off of Rhodes leaving Missouri for Baylor is how bad does he think it is at Missouri? And they obviously have had their issues as well. And then, you know, coaching change and things that have all gone on there. But the coaching change is far from. There's so many other things that have gone on there on top of that. But so he wants to leave that behind to go to Baylor. But then the story that, well, he hired Mac Brown, yes, or Mac Brown, Mac Rhodes hired Tom Herman
right.
At U of H. Mac Rhodes was the AD in 2015 when Tom Herman was hired. Obviously, the AD essentially makes the announcement, credited with the hire. And we all know that at a university, there's so many more factors and people involved in a hire of that magnitude, the head football coach. So does this story have legs? You know, I'm okay with the belief that there's a link, because there clearly is. Mac Rhodes has strong ties to the area, having spent time at UTEP and U of H the majority of his AD-ish career. And then Tom Herman's been in Texas similarly for that same period of time. Then they're linked. They work together. But the idea that they met and were face-to-face at this moment in time as it relates to when the season starts, and the timing from he was, the rumors weren't even out there. He just left Missouri. So if they met, then they had planned to meet for quite some time. To think they're going to meet a day after Baylor makes the announcement, and he's going to do this while he's heading into year number two at U of H off a 13-1 season. I get it's the Big 12. I understand the bump in pay. That I cannot debate. If he goes to Baylor right now, tomorrow, or whenever, he's going to get more than he's getting from U of H. And then we can debate how much more, but it will be more. I don't believe for a second that the report was true. And my opinion is Tom Herman, in no time in the next 3 to 5 years, will be the Baylor head coach. I don't want to say never, because I don't know what Baylor's program will be like down the road. But his next job, I don't believe, will be Baylor. And I also don't think his next job is any time before at least a full, including his bowl game, season at the University of Houston.
I tend to agree.
Second season.
Coaches don't typically leave a couple weeks before the season starts, first of all. If they were going to do this, they wouldn't have hired Jim Grobe. They would have already thrown the moon at Tom Herman and made that happen. I'm sure they've offered him before. But
like, would he have said, no, I absolutely am not interested in your job. But now you have someone I respect and think can help turn things around. Now I'm interested.
I can't picture that being the case. And the other thing is, listen, if you don't think he's going to change jobs this close to the start of the season, that means, like you said, he's probably going to wait till the end of the season if he does switch jobs. And at the end of the season, the reality is there's going to be better jobs than Baylor that open up. Baylor is not a job right now that is going to be an easy job to take. You've got a bunch of recruits who have left. You've got a program that just has an ugly stamp on it right now. And to be honest, Tom Herman isn't the kind of coach who can just show up and people will pretend like nothing ever happened. If Nick Saban or Urban Meyer took the Baylor job, I'd say they could probably keep that thing humming. Any other coach, I'm thinking, man, that's going to be a tough job for anybody not named Nick Saban, Urban, maybe Harbaugh.
It seems like every year we know what jobs we think will be open at the end of the year.
Right.
And then three other jobs almost as good are.
Yeah. And the reality is, hell, I think Tom Herman's had better job opportunities already than Baylor and passed on them.
Like the South Carolina job, for instance.
For instance.
How would you rate that? I mean, it's the program, where the program is within its own conference, it's a competitive team. But it's extremely unlikely South Carolina is on the cusp of finishing in the top three of
South
the SEC,
Carolina,
four?
I would argue, besides
Kentucky,
at least on paper this year, is the worst team in the SEC. That said, it's a program that traditionally has been competitive.
The Georgia job?
The Georgia job is a significantly better job than Baylor. If you coach at Georgia every year, you have a chance to win the SEC East, and that's been the case for the last 15, 20 years. Baylor's been good for 5 years. I mean, and not just 5 years recently, 5 years ever.
But then is it easier to take Baylor, win the Big 12, get to the college football playoff, and work from there versus how am I going to make it through the SEC and get to the college football playoff?
Because if you're a one-loss Baylor team, you're not. It's been proven you're not going to the playoff. If you're a one-loss Georgia team, you're probably going.
Okay, so now take that to the University of Houston. If you're a one-loss Baylor team and you're not going,
a one-loss Houston
can be
team
a
is not
no, but you can be a 13-1 U of H team and land essentially in the same bowl, a New Year's Day bowl.
Exactly.
By going through the AAC and just what he did in year one. And
there's
no
upgrade going to Baylor.
And that's where I think give U of H credit also for the things that they are doing. They know where they want to be, and they obviously want to be playing in the Big Five. But what they're doing to get there is what had to be done. It just took time to get it done, and that's the facilities upgrade, and that's the on-campus stadium that they now have there as opposed to the one they had there previously. And this goes across all sports. There's all of the three major sports, baseball, football, basketball, all with major facility upgrades that have happened or are in the process of happening.
I'm with you. I don't believe that he met with Baylor face-to-face. I don't believe even that he's had serious conversations with him. I do believe eventually Tom Herman will leave this job, and I think at the end of this year seems likely to me.
The extremely all-knowing media in the Big 12 picked Texas to finish fifth. That's a 9-4 season, an 8-5 season, roughly.
I think if
Charlie Strong the coach again, if that's what they get.
If Texas finishes 8-5, maybe not.
And then Tom Herman would be silly not to listen.
I know Baylor fan
that's
doesn't
selling it mildly.
Baylor fan doesn't believe this. Texas, even with what it's been over the last 5 years, when Baylor's been at its peak, is 10 times better a job in college football than Baylor is. 10 times.
Yeah, where it is now is not what it could be, and if you're the coach that gets it back to
you're
where
a hero.
Mac had it for those couple of seasons, across the nation, that's among the top 4 or 5 places to be when you're winning. If you can get them there, and you're the guy that does it, sitting on top of the world.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Dirt Free. You know, a lot of the other guys, a lot of the carpet cleaning companies will leave your floors dirtier than they found them. That's just not the case with Dirt Free. The other companies leave behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals that trap dirt and allergens that can make your family sick. Call Dirt Free Carpet, 281-DIRT-FREE. Go chemical-free with Dirt Free. They use powerful engines to create high-pressure steam made from their patented super water. Your carpets are fresh and deep clean without soap or unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. They'll clean the interior of your car if that's what you want them to do. Call Dirt Free Carpet right now, 281-DIRT-FREE. Tell them you heard about it right here on ESPN 97.5, and they'll do 3 rooms of carpet for just $99.95 and throw in a free speed dry to the first 25 callers. 281-DIRT-FREE. That's 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Carpet.